to welcome everyone to the September 17th meeting of the Plainville Beth Board of Page Board of Education. I'm so glad everybody came out to see the high school and hear about the high school report tonight. Thank you all for coming. We will go through certain procedures for those of you who are new and have never been to a board meeting. We want to welcome you. This is your chance to be able to get up. You have a 3-minute timing that you can say what you would like to say, and we'll go into that when we go into public discussion. But before we begin, I'd like everybody to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Susan?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
See the shelves?
Yes, I saw them. That is really nice. Are there any board announcements, Susan?
I can't believe that the horrific day of 9/11 is actually 17 years in the past. I'd just like to take a moment that we've had, I know that we had an alumni who passed in the towers. His name was Eric Eisenberg. He was a little bit younger than me and a classmate and the most amazing human being. And I would just like to remember him as an alumni.
Thank you. Do we have a high school rep here tonight? Come on up. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I hope you are all doing well. My name is Eden Greenberg, and I'm the senior at the high school. My time here at JFK has been so memorable. I've had the wonderful opportunity to be a part of peer mentors, student government, MetMonk, Youth Against Cancer, and National Honor Society boards, as well as varsity cross country and track captain during my time at the high school. The beginning weeks of school have been going very well. On September 5th, there was the first safe teen driving course. There was another one held tonight. I attended the first presentation, and I was very moved by a speech given by Mr. Asa. Upon speaking to others who attended this course, we all agreed that compared to every video, presentation, speaker we have ever seen, driver's ed, anywhere, this was really the most moving and impactful, and it was truly a raw emotional experience. The freshman welcome went smoothly, and they are continuing to adjust well to the high school. The freshman elections will be held October 5th, and a few attended the first interest meeting that was held today. The senior barbecue was great, and the seniors really enjoyed it, so thank you to all the staff that made it possible. I also attended the senior info night, which was extremely informative and really answered many students' pressing questions. The annual club fair will be taking place September 27th, and it is always a great way to introduce students to all of the clubs available at the high school. In exciting news, News 12 came to the high school to interview a few GSA members about installing gender-neutral bathrooms. So much has been going on in just the few short weeks that we have been in school, and I'm excited to see what this year has to come. Thank you, and have a nice night.
Thank you so much. Do we have any middle school representatives tonight? Yes, no? No, I guess not. We don't have any. All right, any other board announcements? Dr. Lewis?
Yes, last week it was the superintendent's highlight. I was honored to attend the Long Island Scholar Artists Awards ceremony, and we had two scholar artists. There were 20 scholar artists for the entire Long Island, and we had two of them. And one was in theater, Jenna Robinson, and the other was Ashley Zhang. And she was in media arts. Now, it sounds, you know, each year we've sort of assumed that we will have winners, but it's not a given. It is through the diligent efforts of the teachers in the departments in the arts, supporting kids and identifying them for this competition. It's very prestigious. It was held at the Tillis Center, and I'm very proud of the students. We're just getting started, and I believe we have our highlights will include our semifinalists, but we'll give that information next time. But it's all good news so far. This weekend, Lori Lynn put together a great team of administrators and families walking at the Heart Walk combined effort was almost $3,000 for a very worthy cause. So I thank you, and I hope that next year we'll have an even bigger group going. I think the thing, if you have children, it is a wonderful event for children. They do so many things that would entice the children to participate and walk, and they have face paintings and hula hoops. They have lots of games for the children. It's a wonderful day, so please think about doing it next year. And finally, I will, we've throughout the summer have been discussing the dilemma that we are about to face as we look at our enrollments at the two middle schools. We began the discussion in the summer, showing some the issues of the two middle schools. The board will not be discussing it tonight because we had the conflict with the fifth and sixth grade, and we want to give everyone the time that is needed to discuss this dilemma. I do not want anyone to think that anything has been decided. What we do know is that we have two middle schools with very different enrollments. So we could have many solutions, some of it being doing nothing and hope that the bubble goes away, and to looking at district lines, to looking at configurations, to looking at changing the resources that we allocate. Everything is on the table. And because someone, responsible or irresponsible as it is, has begun posting on Facebook on things that they think have been decided, it has stirred up quite a fever in the community. So we are going to be discussing this. The board will begin discussing it October 1st at the next board meeting. And on our district calendar on October 16th, we had planned on a forum that we would be discussing the profile of a graduate, because that we really want to hear from the community what they want to see as the qualities that they want for graduates. So we have that time slot, and we're going to be using it to continue the discussion that will begin October 1. So I know there might be people who have come out tonight, and you're certainly welcome to speak to the board, but the conversation will begin October 1, will continue October 16th and beyond, depending on how the board would like to proceed.
Thank you. On behalf of the board, I'd just like to reiterate what Dr. Lewis said, but also looking through Plainview Moms and the sites, the board has not in any way even really started a discussion on this. We have so many of our own questions that we want to ask. We cannot tell you, nor will we, that there's a deadline date that we are going to meet to make a decision. If we have to put it off a year, it may be put off a year. If it's something that we think is doable now, our concern is right now the middle school and the inequity that's going to happen between Matlin and PLB Middle School. We are going to look at the sales of homes in our community. Where is the bubble happening? How many homes are going to be moved? You know, when we opened Pasadena, we took a third of students from Parkway, Old Bethpage, and Stratford Road. And so there are people who live, let's say, right behind Parkway that were then moved over to Pasadena. Some of the streets we're looking at would go back to the original home school that they would have been at. But we want to hear what you have to say. We just ask everybody just to be polite. We care about each and every child. For those of us who have lived through this ourselves, we know it's a very hard thing. But in the end, whatever decision is, everybody's going to have some input, because we're going to listen to your questions. We're going to try as the best we can to answer them. We may not like the answers, but this is what we know and this is what we can do. We're looking at, we've heard, maybe adding on to a building. These are all things that are going to be thrown out. Those decisions aren't made overnight. This is something that is not going to happen in 2 weeks or 4 weeks. So we want you to bear with us. And remember, we're here to listen to what you have to say. And please, we have an adult as a pal, so we just ask everybody to be civil to each other, and we'll work through this together. Thank you. Mr. Murray.
The reason you're here, and I know that's why we have the big crowd, is that we have...
This is where your kids are going to land up, so pay attention. This is good stuff.
Is a scholarship report for POB JFK High School.
We're having a little issue pulling it up, right? So that's who's working.
All right, you want to do the county, Nassau County speed cameras while we're doing this? Or run away? Are we up?
Well, 30 seconds.
Oh.
So I could do this.
No, because the speed cameras will have a discussion on it.
Yeah, but the public is here.
Oh, they should have some.
Right. Are you well?
Yes.
Okay. Seth, you want to?
Oh, I'm going to be in.
You want to say something?
You want to pull the screen down?
You Jim.
Are the sets on the sides?
No.
Look at it.
Okay. Good evening, everybody.
At the bottom. Testing.
All right, ready for action. Again, thank you very much, everybody, for being here this evening. I greatly appreciate your attention. I have to tell you, I mean, this was such an exciting year for our district. This was the culmination of many years of planning and preparation for POB's largest graduating class. I mean, it was, and all the discussions that we had over the years in preparing for how we were going to accommodate them and graduation, how are we going to accommodate graduation, where we have to change venues, proms, locations, all of that stuff. And, you know, of course we did it all, and wait till you hear the report tonight because we did it beautifully. They did it beautifully. And of course, I'm so glad that all of our colleagues are here this evening as well. I wish all the teachers could be here, to be honest with you, too, to share these results. And of course, I'll share them with them at next month's faculty meeting. But anyway, here, I kind of made some changes to the presentation from prior years. We're of course, addressing the year in review. As you can see, the points of pride, I'm sorry about the small font. I know there are papers around that will address all of the wonderful things. This is just like really a snippet of all the great accomplishments of the class of 2018. But some of the things that stood out to me, the 4 National Merit Scholarship finalists, 16 commended students in the National Merit Program, 1 U.S. Presidential Scholar candidate, and that does not happen easily or often at all. 2 APA award winners from the American Psychological Association, 1 finalist, 2017 Neuroscience Research Prize by American Academy of Neurology. We also had a scholar artist in visual arts honors, as well as for award of merit in theater. Again, I know I'm leaving people out here that those all awards are important, but for the sake of saving time, I would just want to share those with you. Looking at the distribution of our graduates from the 2018, we had 88% of our students attending a 4-year school this year, 2-year college 7%. So it's an increase in the 88% going on to 4-year college, a small decrease in the 2-year college. 95.5% are attending college. Okay, so it's an increase of 0.06%. Looking at our regions and college statistics for general education, for our graduates, we had 438 out of 443 students graduated. That's 98.87%. Our colleagues in other districts, they ask me all the time, how do we do it? How does it happen? And it's just really, it's a community effort, a belief in education and the support of our school district, and all of you, of course. Looking at the rest of the results between the Regents diplomas, advanced Regents, and Regents with honors, we had a total of 97.07%. of those students attaining those types of diplomas. And of course, attending colleges, as I mentioned before, 95.94%. Now, looking at our special education population, we had 65 out of our 70 students graduate. That's 14.7% of the class, by the way. It's an increase of 2%. Looking at this, looking at their results, we had 30 out of our 70 students in special education program received or earned an advanced Regents diploma. That's outstanding. It's an increase of 16.16%. So they're to be commended for that kind of work. Looking at attending four-year schools, 49 students at 70%, an increase of 14.4% attending four-year schools. So proud. Looking at our graduation rates, as you can see this year, we had 99% of our students graduate with diplomas and 97% with some kind of advanced Regents designation. What should be noted, I know I'm always asked this question, but we did have 9 students that were non-graduates this past year, but 4 of those 9 students graduated in June. I'm very happy to hear that, and now that we have the Twilight program, I'm hoping that now that we're opening up that door, that's going to be able to help us get those kids to graduate before June comes around. But of those, as I mentioned, 4 of them graduated in June, 4 of them are returning for a 5th year. That's their CSE transition plan. So that's great for them. And we did have one student that dropped out after countless numbers of interventions to try and support this student. But, of course, we're still keeping in touch with the student just to make sure that things are okay. Numbers of AP papers written. Would you look at this number? The ladder just keeps climbing high, or not? We're running out of space. 1,474 papers, that's an increase of 175 papers. 633 students taking those exams, that's an increase of 60 students are engaging in our AP program. So pat yourselves on the back, everybody, because that's an outstanding accomplishment. I commend Lori Lynn, especially, and Eric Arthunian working together to coordinate that testing season that takes place, because that's a tremendous endeavor. Looking specifically at our results by each of our departments, I don't have included in here every single department. It's those that have AP exams or Regents courses. But, of course, within your report that was submitted to you, you should have the report by now. If you have, 3 weeks at your hand to look it all over, because it'll probably take you that long, you'll see them all by every single department. But, anyway, looking at our department, as you can see, it's very colorful because it's 100% all across the board. The highest caliber for drawing, fashion design, computer graphics, and photographic artwork around. We had many juried exhibits this past year, competitions, the High Arts Showcase, just to name a few, the Heckscher Museum of Arts, Long Island Best Showcase, the LIAA Scholar Artist, Huntington Art Council's programs. They did the Nightmare on Main Street exhibit, among many others. And for the 11th consecutive year, what's most notable here, we had a Scholar Artist Award for Visual Arts. So keep up the great work, Dr. Wiley, and your, of course, the teachers in that department. English. I'm happy Mr. Yagoloff is here this evening as well. Looking at our English Regents results, we had the average Regents grade for this past year was an 88.4%. Looking at our results, as you could see, we're pretty consistent from the last year, 96%, as well as 78%. Of course, part of that could very well be the number of students that were tested, because the prior year they would have had more students tested. And that could have had a part of it, but I know Mr. Yagoloff also did say that it was a very challenging exam. Looking at the results in English and as well as what the work the English department did, we had 2 curriculum writing projects in preparation for last year and 2 more that were done this year as extensive PD projects as well. Mr. Yagoloff was engaged in. We also did work with the Kennedy Center last year and that through that partnership. and of course his continued goal of, for common assessments created for the midterms and for final exams in grades 9, 10, and 11 as well, to try and increase consistency throughout the department. Looking at our, I'm sorry, that was mastery? Okay. Yes, our AP results. And we had an increase in enrollment of an increase of 26 students taking the capstone seminar this past year. So we're really very impressed still yet with the 95% that were achieved there. We have implemented an updated curricular materials and strategies throughout that English department. And of course, student-centered ergonomic furniture for three of the classrooms was something else that Mr. Yagloff was mentioning that he was extremely proud of. But as you can see, our results on our AP exams were really very much something that we should be proud of. In the mathematics department, we're going to come up with a different color scheme for next year, make it a little bit clearer for you all. Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that, Ms. Bernstein. But it did look better on paper than it does, I guess, up on the board. But I did notice, and this is my error, I guess my handwriting needs to be a little bit clearer, that number there that's for Common Core Algebra for 2018 is not 95%, and I will make sure that that is changed. It actually is 98%. So I do not want to jip anybody that 3%. That means a lot. Okay, so we had a 98% for the Common Core Algebra, or Algebra 1. There were 8 perfect scores, by the way, on that test. For the Common Core Geometry, we had 89%, 6 perfect scores on that exam, and that had the highest cut score of our math exams. And the Common Core Algebra 2, 98% as well. So great job in the math department of our results for students passing those exams. Looking at that as well, different things that the math department was engaged in this past year. We had the Nassau Math Tournament, where 37 schools participated at SUNY Old Westbury. It was a one-day event, and we had one student placed 14th out of 171 students, I should say. And also our lower division team, we ranked 18th out of 42 teams. We had also had 19 students participated in the Al Kalfas Math Fair, and 13 moved on to the final round of that. We had the AMC event where 444 students from both POB Middle School and Matlin participated in the AMC 8, and 46 students from the high school, as well as 5 from Matlin, participated in the AMC 10-12. So again, those worthy of recognition. Further, you should be aware of, looking at our Regents Mastery results, we had a 46% increase of students that took the Common Core Algebra 2. That's the one on the far right for 2018. A 30% increase from last year for students that took the Common Core Geometry exam as well. And, of course, pretty consistent from the prior year with 56% with algebra. Something else that I should also note, that the math department did take advantage of using the ALEKS program. It's the Assessment, Learning, Knowledge, and Spaces program. And in addition to that, working with the guidance department under the direction of Ms. Lynn, Ms. Lagatuda worked with, Ms. Espinosa, the Nassau Community College Math Prep Program. There were 4 1.5-hour sessions preparing our students that were identified as in need. Okay, and looking at our AP results, we had 172 students from the math department that were tested. It's an increase of 32 students, and 80% of them scored a 3 or better overall. Looking at our statistics, this is an all-time high for us. 95% of our students passed that exam. That's a 10% increase, by the way, from the prior year, but like I said, a major increase for us all around. A 4% increase of students passing the Computer Science A exam. And if you take a look at the Calculus AB, you'll notice an enrollment increase of 55% in that area. So, of course, it's an area we continue to work on with Ms. Lagatuda will be working on with the teachers. But, of course, we also have to attribute that we are getting more students to take the exams, take the courses. our most challenging program. Globally, you should be aware that 14% scored a 5 and 60% scored a 3 on the statistics exam. Again, 14% compared to ours where it's 32% scored a 5. And where they were 60% scored a 3, we were 95%. So we're really doing well, especially in that area. Going to our music department. As you could see, we had a significant drop in the passing rate from the prior year, from 81% down to 50%. We actually had 8 students take the exam. So, when it's a smaller amount, if the percent difference seems greater. But anyway, in speaking with Mr. Rogers with regard to what he attributes that too, he really feels, in speaking with the teacher as well, that the sight singing part of it, or signing, I should say, I'm sorry, sight signing component of it is the most difficult part for it. And he's already working with the teacher of the course to implement some changes to give greater support for students that need sight signing. It is sight singing. I apologize. Gotcha. I apologize. Do you need an explanation what the sight singing is? Okay. All right. So anyway, in addition to that, we also had within the music department this past year, we had the LIFESA Festival that 20 of our students participated in. All county, 109 students. All national, 2 students. New York State Theater Educators Association Conference, where 2 students participated in that. We had Gold with Distinction at POB Middle School Symphonic Band, as well as the high school's full and string orchestras, which was an outstanding accomplishment. We also had the high school and elementary school did a joint or educational, they called it informants, where the elementary school students came to the high school and they played together on a song that they were both mutually learning, but in different ways. I'm sorry?
Anna Klein.
Yes, that's right, yes. I think you had the DVD, the videotape part of that for you as well. We also incorporated the orchestra in the pit performances for our drama musicals that took place this past year. So lots of great things that are going on in the music department. Great job, Mr. Rogers, with your department. In science, looking at the science department, we had an increase of 5% with the earth science, so bringing us up to 97%. 97% as well in living environment, consistent from the prior year. 92% with chemistry, pretty much the same, just a slight increase there, and an increase of 3% with physics. Those are our passing results for science. Great job, Mrs. Barry. And looking at the mastery results with regard to that, an all-time high, an increase of 16%, going to 75% passing the earth science district-wide. And looking at the 59% for physics, that's an increase of 4% for us, and they've been really working very hard to increase the performance rate in that area. So the cut score, by the way, if you look at the 34% for chemistry, in speaking with Mrs. Barry about that, she attributes a lot of it to the cut score affected 11 of the students that were very close. They ended up getting an 84 as opposed to an 85, which would have been mastery for them. So Yeah. You get it. I appreciate that you. Exactly. Anyway, looking more at the science, the advanced placement science. Here we had, if we take a look at those results for the exams, we have increases all across the board except in our AP chemistry, where there we had a decrease of 14.6%. Mrs. Barry is definitely going to be working with her teachers with regard to that. We've had numerous conversations already, and I know she has already started working on it with her teachers on what could they be looking at, especially with the data that they have from the prior year, to be able to determine how the students could be performing better in that area this coming year. and now in social studies. Okay. Before I get into the results, Mrs. Carnesi has done an awful lot of work with curriculum writing for five new courses that she had to prepare for this year with curriculum writing to prepare for that, and four of them were elective courses. Getting ready for the global in addition to that was definitely a daunting task, but as you could see by looking at the results, they did extremely well. Where we had with global exam, that was the transition exam, we had 96%, so they still had an increase even though it was a transition exam. And for U.S. history, we had an increase of 1%, bringing it to 98. Great job in that area. This was the more rigorous exams feeling from the department overall, but yet looking at our results, you wouldn't think so because our students are still shining greatly. Very impressive results. She also worked on vertical alignment, was a focus this past year, and collaboration and expectations in the culture of the social studies department all across the board. Was very helpful for this past year for these results. In addition to that, we have the new Global 10 curriculum written this past summer in preparation for this year, and stimulus-based multiple choice questions and short answer question sets, enduring issues essays in preparation, of course, for this year too. So all of that kind of work has been underway. Looking at the mastery results, as you can see, again, consistent with the prior year and an increase as well in the U.S. history. Looking at the social studies, I know this is like the skyline of the city, right?
It's a lot of bars.
Yeah, a lot of bars, and again, the colors, I apologize. But anyway, some things of note for you. First off, you're going to see our bars are really up pretty high and really great results. Most notable is this, the first administration of the AP Capstone Research, and we had 100% pass that exam. So that's outstanding. And also, first administration for us of human geography, too, and 96% of our students taught that. So, yeah, that's great, and that's actually taught by a new teacher to our department who's really done a great job, and is really a valuable member within the department. In addition to that, looking at the new AP focus for AP US of government and politics, that they're working on the new exam, the preparations for that, creating the new curriculum. Great job, Ms. Carnesi and the Social Studies Department. And last but not least, we have the World Language Department. Here, the Language Department, when many participated in, and they also won many language competitions this past year. They did really very well with them. They also redesigned the midterms and their final exams to include more inquiry and proficiency-based questions. Both the middle school and the high school curriculum was better aligned as a result of their efforts. And as you can see, the results for their Checkpoint B exam, their equivalent of a Regents exam, since the state doesn't offer that any longer, they did an outstanding job passing their exams. And if you're looking at their mastery levels, as you can see, they are rather consistent with last year. As you can see, we do have a bit of a drop in Italian. I attribute that to the low numbers that we had taking the test. And in world language for the advanced placement exam, last but not least, we had an increase of 72 students enrolled in the Spanish course, and we had an increase of to 98% of our students passing that exam, so they did exceptionally well. And we had three students took the Italian exam this past year, the AP Italian. As you can see, we didn't have the bar in the prior year, so we're very happy that we did have those three students that took the exam. So as you can see, in conclusion, it was an exciting year at the high school. Our students did exceptionally well under the direction of their teachers, and we're really very excited for this year. And from what I understand, the class of 2019, they're going to be quite impressive as well. So we're very hopeful. Thank you very much so much for your time. And I did it before 9:30, Dr. Lewis.
I was watching.
Excellent.
Any questions, comments?
Yeah. It's just a comment, and that is just congratulations to you, your staff, and the students for a job well done. Obviously, we continue to excel across all disciplines, and well, there's always areas to improve. I'm confident that you'll continue to progress. So thank you to everybody. Good job.
On behalf of the board, you guys did a super, super job, and we want to thank everybody because, you know, the numbers keep going. We always find new challenges and everything else, but thank you so much.
Very good. Thank you. On time.
I just, before you go, I just want to say, we keep saying we can't get better because it's scary how well we did. The special ed, advanced regents diploma, it doesn't come easily. It's a tough, it's an outstanding accomplishment, and it was hard work. 43%, I would stack that against any school district on Long Island. 9 AP offerings in social studies, all outstanding. And if you recall, a couple of years ago, the board was challenging us on macroeconomics, and I just, kudos to you, Maria. I mean, that was hard work. And you could see where it's come. It was a lot hard work with the entire staff. The idea of really focusing in on AP Capstone, Jeff, I mean, just we are topping it off, really. And you keep saying, where do we go next? Because so much of what we're doing is at peak. But you just keep surprising us and doing even more. So thank you so much, for everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your boards mean a lot. Thank you.
I forgot to mention, this weekend, on Sunday, September 23rd, the orchestra will be playing in Saratoga at the opening ceremonies for the Superintendents Association. Glenn Rubin will be conducting that, and the entire orchestra will be present for that ceremony.
Take it for us.
Yes, we will video it, but I'm so appreciative of the fact that they will be there.
Thank you, Dr. Lewis. Nassau County speed cameras. Okay, you want to start with Eric?
I'll do a little bit of introduction. You do recall that we had speed cameras all over Plainview. In fact, in more Democratic areas, had more speed cameras than other areas. For example, there were none in Bethpage, but a lot in Plainview. Laura Kern, who's our current
county exec,
has now put it on school districts to request speed cameras. Now, I know how much of a burden it was for our taxpayers, but I also know that they did cause people to slow down. So it is up to each Board of Education to decide what they would like to do. I pass it on to you.
Beth. For clarification, right now there is no legislation. So as I understand it, the county executive is asking for the district to support legislation which would give districts the option to participate. So that even if the legislation passes, not every district has to participate. Is that right? It's a question more than a comment. Is that right?
That's what it seems from her communication.
Okay, so assuming that that's true, while our school district may or may not choose to participate, it seems the legislation allowing districts the option to do so may make sense, just to be the devil's advocate. I know the rollout last time was somewhat botched. Notice, standpoint, signage, and whatnot. But I think we would be remiss if, as Dr. Lewis mentioned, we didn't point out that there are positives from having speed cameras in some areas. Right, so first there's awareness that there might be cameras, affects the psychology of drivers. Motorists who may not otherwise be as cautious would now be thinking twice before speeding. I know that I've seen my fair share of speeding motorists in front of JJP, in front of Old Beth. I know on Washington Avenue, Matlin and the high school, particularly where there's no sidewalks, kids cross. Once a driver's aware that there's a camera, that is installed, they tend to behave differently, particularly after getting that first ticket. And they seem to drive a little bit more carefully. And I think that when you do encounter a speed camera, not knowing exactly where they are in other areas, you tend to change your approach in driving. You wonder or assume if other areas have it as well, and therefore you'll drive more cautiously. I think that there is a potential impact that it has on changing the culture of driving in schools and school zones, hoping to be a more perfect driver, perhaps a more conscious driver. And so, while I don't know if it's something that POB would want, I think allowing the school districts in some areas, they're on even more main roads, and if they want to have that option, I don't see a reason why we wouldn't support legislation to give that option to a school district.
Well, I'll never disagree with student safety, and I value your points on those, and because, yes, there is a psychology to the thought that you are going to get a ticket and you will slow down. I'm greatly concerned with the rollout just going on the way it did, like they do with the red light cameras. And before I would make a decision, I would want to know exactly how they plan to do this. I don't want to give carte blanche that, oh, you're doing it because of safety. Yes, of course, that is the bottom line for this. But I'm suspicious of the way Nassau County has rolled out a lot of their plans for safety means. So that's where I'm not going to just say, yeah, two thumbs up. I'm going to be very cautious. I want to hear plans, how it's done, before I vote one way or another.
No.
I agree with Susan. I need much more information. But my concern goes deeper than that. My concern goes for all the streets in Plainview. I drive down Obeth Page Road, where we once had a horrible, horrible occurrence, and we lost a child. They're still speeding on Obeth Page Road. So, yes, you know, safety for all of our children. So I need more information on that. And I'd like as you said, Seth, more conscious driving. But I don't know how you do that with every street in town to take care of our kids.
I agree with Seth, assuming that all we would be doing is allowing the legislation for school districts to make that own their own decision. And I do believe that a lot of things should be left open to the local school district as opposed to Nassau County or the state, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd be in favor of the allowing the legislation to go forward, not knowing if I would want it here in Plainview or Bethpage. That would be a whole nother discussion.
I do agree with Seth that school districts should have the right to decide for themselves whether or not they have the speed cameras there. I personally don't want to see them here in POB. While I can't speak to all the areas where they were speed cameras, I do know that when they were up, I personally saw several instances on South Oyster Bay Road in front of Our Lady of Mercy where people actually slammed on their brakes, because that road is very frequently traveled by people who are not from the area, and the signs were so bad. Basically, the sign that there was a speed camera was literally right before the speed camera. So people who were unfamiliar with the area, who didn't realize that Our Lady of Mercy was there, would then slam on their brakes, which in my opinion is more likely to cause a safety issue than the speeding and the, you know, speed. So I'm with Seth. I'm a big proponent of local control. I think school districts should have the option to decide, but I personally would not want to see us okay this in POB.
I'm all about safety and safety for our kids, but I would like more information. And as my fellow board members mentioned, I do like the fact, and I think it's also maybe because Laura Curran was a board member too. She probably also, I don't want to speak for her, but but also sees that local control is a good thing. So I am in favor of POB and other school districts making their own decision.
Can I just, Ginger?
Sure.
I mean, one of the other things that comes with this conversation is the schools that have, like, Round Swamp Road, Old Country Road, and Minetta Hill Road, we're seeing a lot of trucking traffic, too. And you want to talk about unfamiliar drivers. I mean, trucking drivers get onto parkways all the time. How many times in the morning you hear that somebody hit an overpass on either the Hutchinson or the Northern State or the Southern State? So when a 53-foot truck tries to slow down on their air, it's not a good place. And, you know, not only Obeth Page lost a student, we lost a student on Old Country Road, too. So, you know, before we make any decisions, I need a lot of more information. And I need to see local law enforcement enforcing what we already have. They don't. They don't enforce speed. They don't enforce weight. They don't enforce footage. So, you know.
But they fined me 30 seconds after my inspection.
That's because you were in a parking lot someplace.
30 seconds after it expires. There they are, writing
yes.
my ticket.
Yes.
I think a lot of this begs the question. Why did they stop it? And it was because the residents of Nassau County mm-hmm. wanted it stopped. They felt, if I leave my home and I go Washington Avenue, I hit two red light cameras. I make a right onto Minetta Hill Road, I pass Parkway. I make a left onto Woodbury Road, I hit Bayless. I make a right, left onto South Oyster Bay Road, there's Our Lady of Mercy. And the signs are literally a foot in front of that school. And you have to have some gas to make that turn going in. There were more almost accidents and people yelling and screaming how unfair this was. And it was just another revenue type of thing to get people crazy. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I support if they want to have legislation, but I want to be guaranteed if I support something, our district doesn't have to participate in it. Mm-hmm. And I think I agree with Susan. I think there's missing components to it. And they're doing it to get revenue. Nassau County's broke.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't want it to be our taxpayers paying for that. And then you have the red light cameras that if you don't stop long enough and make a right, you get a ticket anyway. I'm tired of those tickets. I don't want to support Nassau County anymore. Yeah,
Ginger. Can the legislative committee write to her to ask the questions that the board might have so that we could make an informed decision?
Yes.
I'm sorry, and confirm,
yes.
and confirm the distinction between the two. Like I said, I support the choice, but I don't know if I support it for POB, but I do believe to the extent it's truly a choice, doesn't require you to opt in, just confirm that that's the case. Because right now we have a two-page letter describing things, nothing more, so...
All right, so we'll just...
It gives us another opportunity to opt out something.
Okay, any other comments? So we'll send a letter out. And could you please make sure that our local legislator, Arnie Drucker, gets it and send it to Josh also?
Okay.
Because those are his streets that we get involved in the most. And for anybody who doesn't know, please watch for tree removal on Minetta Hill Road. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to enter into public participation. District policy number 15101 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall 1. State their name and address and on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which the privacy or rights to due process or those of others could be in some way violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting when you speak, make sure you give your name and address, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes, and we just ask that everybody be courteous. If there's a group speaking and you're all saying the same thing, you can just get up and give your name and say, I agree. If you feel like talking, please don't be nervous. We're watching you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the floor is now open. Sure, please just come up and you can make a line.
Hi, my name is Stacy Adelstein, 31 Hollywood Drive. Earlier you had addressed the redistricting and you had pointed out inequities at the middle school. I would like to raise the issue of inequities at the elementary school level. I know I speak on behalf of many Pasadena parents here when I say we are heartbroken that our children are, the third graders are in classes of 27 and 28. I recognize the board has set a limit of 28. We feel that is way too high. Our children are being done an incredible disservice. One third of the students are also in a class where the teacher is set to go out on leave in January. To talk about inequities, our understanding is that the other elementary schools, the third grade class sizes are 22, 21, and 23. So if we want to talk about inequities, 28 versus 22 is an unacceptable difference. And we are concerned for this year. We are concerned for next year, what is going to happen in the fourth grade. And we recognize that it is perhaps not likely that you're going to add a section of another class. And I know that an aide has been added in two of the classes for half the day. And I think I would urge that an aide for half the day is simply not enough, particularly in a class where the teacher is set to leave in January. We are begging of you to please, please, not long-term inequities in a middle school, the current immediate inequities that our children have in the third grade in Pasadena. And we are begging of you to please do something immediately to help our children. Thank you.
So you said it quite, you absolutely said it correctly that the guidelines for the board would be up to 28. And we've had classes of 28 at Stratford Road and in other schools. So when it hits 28, we all three sections would be the time that we would have to consider splitting. When you do split, it means taking 6 to 7 students from each class by lottery. And so that's the other angst that might come along, that children would lose their teachers in the middle of the year. We are not there yet. It would take 3 more students entering, which is less likely to happen, you know, but it could. So we do have a procedure in place when we go above the guidelines. I have spoken with the PTA on this. Your PTA has represented your thoughts quite well. I have committed to 4 sections for next year because to begin the year at that point, because we would have already had those numbers, we did not begin the year anywhere near what we have now, but we have committed to 4 sections for next year, for fourth grade.
For what will be the fourth?
Well, absolutely.
Fourth grade.
And we will hold to that. So,
and is there any thought to a full-time aide in the classes? I recognize we're at the board limit of 28, but
right.
I think we would all say there's no thought of a
full-time aide. Is not doing the instruction. We literally, that's not what, no. There.
Well, that's disappointing, but thank you.
Can you raise this?
You can lift it up and just take it out.
No, I'm not singing, so. Thank you. Oh, my God. Double whammy. Sorry. Good evening. My name is Robert Levy. I live at 12 Deborah Drive. I'm the parent of an 8-year-old at Pasadena Elementary. I'm also the father of a 10th grader that's at the high school. I'm very happy with what's going on there. I'm also a social studies teacher for the last 25 years. And when I'm doing something in school, the one question I always ask myself is, what would I do as if my own child were in the class or my best friend's child? And that governs everything that I do. With that being said, I'm here on behalf of my child and my best friend's kids to say that this rezoning issue is definitely harmful, definitely damaging, against the best interests of my child and my best friend's child. The plans right now, and there are many out there, are contrary to the mission statement of the district, where we talk about the idea of potential and identifying social, emotional needs and striving to meet those needs. Some of the proposals that are out there disregard the best needs of individual children. I think it's very irresponsible that administrators and board members to even consider such a proposal that will have the harmful effect of hurting the well-being of any child. As an educator, I can tell you the middle school years are crucial to their development. They are academically, socially, emotionally coming to their own and discovering themselves. Our children have grown up together in Pasadena school building with the intention and understanding they will be together in middle school. Not only have they been in classes together, they've built bonds. They have chosen to participate in extracurricular activities, join places of worship with their friends and families. They walk the halls of Pasadena. They're very comfortable with those surroundings. They know their teachers. They know their nurses. They know the staff there. For a child to be secure, they need to be educated and have familiarity, not any type of potential change or upheaval. Fortunately for Plainview, but unfortunately for Pasadena families, the influx of new members to our community has now forced the Board of Education to make changes. These changes were brought to the attention of the board and the superintendent when the closing of the case center came about. This has been known. I remember vividly, all right, that rezoning was not an issue back then. And I remember, Dr. Lewis, you addressed this. As parents, we put our faith and trust into the Board of Education that we elect to do what's right for our children. The discussion of rezoning to move our children shows a lack of faith and trust, and it's not right. You're not going to be talking to my child when they're crying, when they need to be pulled apart from their friends, or when they're strangers in a new school. They could potentially be forced to emigrate somewhere else where they're going to be strangers, and it's not fair. A solution needs to be created that does not include rezoning. It needs to be taken off the table, period. It's a Band-Aid remedy, not a permanent fix. It's going to negatively impact the well-being and livelihood of the children who should not be affected by a lack of foresight or planning. I look forward to future meetings with this and discuss further. One concept I always talk about is opportunity cost. I'm going to wrap it up. One concept I talk about is opportunity cost. What are you going to give up, okay, when you have alternatives or when you have to choose something right here? The opportunity cost of rezoning is not going to be affecting the emotional well-being of the children. I think everyone can wholeheartedly agree that with the opportunity cost of the children being affected, rezoning is not an acceptable solution. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Adria Stolak of 16 Vera Avenue. I'm speaking today on behalf of my family and other families in the POB school districts. Over the past few days, there have been rumors, Facebook posts, and documents swirling around Plainview citing plans to rezone our district, possibly. I'm speaking today in hopes of urging the board to reconsider these plans to rezone. All of the streets mentioned in the plan are Pasadena families and POB middle school families, families who have children in one or both of these schools at the same time, families who have transitioned their children to Pasadena and then to POB Middle School. Their children have friends, sports teams, clubs, and educators, and special education support staff who they care about and who care about them. The thought of taking these children out of the environment that they have known for the past 2, 3, or 4 years and uprooting them to switch to a new school is really not educationally sound. I have 3 children, one in 2nd grade at Pasadena and 2 at POB Middle School in 5th grade. My 5th graders just made that transition 2 weeks ago. To think that they may have to transition again to go to Matlin is unthinkable. These are young children. They are easily overwhelmed. They get anxious. They are really not game pieces that can be moved on a whim. And if you say no, your middle school children can stay. It's the incoming middle school children that have to change schools. I would urge you to consider these points. My 2nd grade son will be separated from his siblings when he enters middle school. He will have to go on a different bus, be on a different schedule, leave the friends that he has made at Pasadena to go to a middle school where he may not even know one person. I am expected as his parent to be at 2 open school nights, 2 parent conference days, all in 2 different middle schools. The list goes on. I'm not the exception. If these child-centered reasons for not rezoning are not enough, I urge you at the very least to grandfather the families who are currently attending Pasadena School to stay and then attend POB Middle. Let current POB Middle School students stay and graduate, whether they are in 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th grade. Do not punish our current students. Do not uproot them. Make new rules for new entrants, for new families moving to the district. I would like to remind the board that promises were made on several occasions that there was no plan to rezone. At the kindergarten center meeting, it was stated that rezoning would not happen, yet here we are. At a Pasadena PTA meeting, Dr. Lewis stated that rezoning takes several years and significant planning, and it has always been the precedent to grandfather in those families who currently attend the affected schools. The question is not whether we will survive a change. The question is if rezoning is another Band-Aid. Are other solutions, such as adding on to POB, adding teachers, adding needed resources, or reopening the discussion of possibly a 5th and 6th grade school and a 7th and 8th grade school, more permanent and desirable solutions for both the educational and emotional well-being of the children? We believe they are.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Marissa Bello. My address is 23 Peter Lane in Plainview. I have two sons in the district, one at Pasadena and one at POB Middle School. I'd like to speak about the proposal to rezone the district, which, if adopted, would result in my children being rezoned. While I recognize that the board will make its decision based on the good of the district as a whole, I do want to express my concern that the move will have a negative impact on the children being rezoned. We moved to Plainview Old Bethpage School District because we heard that it was a great community and a great district, one in which our children would learn, build confidence, and make friends. We have not moved from POB or from the Pasadena zone because we felt that moving would interfere with our children's ability to do all of those things. Rezoning would have the same effect without us having made the decision to move. It will certainly disrupt their friendships and their confidence in their buildings and teachers and administrators. Therefore, we are opposed to the proposal to rezone the district. I know the board will make a well-informed decision that will help our district and all the children in the community continue to grow and thrive. In making its decision, I ask that the board strongly consider the alternatives to rezoning. Thank you.
My name is Heather Hall, and I reside at 23 Melanie Avenue in Plainview. I have a kindergartner and a fourth grader who attend Pasadena. I come here tonight on their behalf to speak as a community member, an educator, and a parent. I would like to start by specifically focusing on my fourth grader. He is not a child who makes friends easily. He is not involved with sports or many community groups. He doesn't know a lot of POB children outside of his grade at school. But after 4 years with his cohort, he finally has a great core group of friends. He knows who will sit with him at lunch and who will play creative games with him at rec. He knows who would enjoy having at his birthday celebration. While I'm sharing my personal story, I know I speak for many, not just those who will be rezoned, but those who will lose peers as part of rezoning. You might hear or feel that kids are flexible and will adapt, or that they all have district-wide friends from outside activities, but please don't take the social aspect of rezoning out of your discussions. And research supports this. A study from 2011 by Julie Kingery and colleagues found that students with low pre-middle school transition peer acceptance have fewer peers to rely on for support and are more likely to experience social and emotional difficulties once in middle school. There has to be a better and more permanent solution to this constantly shifting demographics throughout our district than shifting neighborhoods back and forth whenever the numbers between schools need balancing. Please thoroughly investigate making a 5-6 and a 7-8 building, adding on to buildings, or any other viable options recommended by the community. Just because our current middle school model worked 20 years ago when it was set up doesn't mean that it is the best model for our community today. We all know that children grow up too quickly now, with increased academic standards and lower grades and access to the internet and social media. The difference between a fifth and an eighth grader in 2018 is much more significant than it was in 1998. In fact, an article published in 2008 in the Journal for Policy and Analysis and Management by Philip Cook and colleagues found that sixth grade students attending middle schools with older adolescents are much more likely to be cited for discipline problems than those grouped with younger students. They also found that starting middle school at a younger age reduces academic performance. We want to know that these things are being considered and not ignored simply because this is how things have historically been done here. I request that you form a committee of stakeholders to consider all the options, present them to the community for feedback, and really listen to what is said. Do not take this decision lightly or rushed. Do not tell us that the conversation is just starting, but publish one concept that has clearly been researched and in the works for some time. And above all, think about the decision that the board makes and how it impacts all of the children of POB more likely than you know. Thank you for your time.
My name is Lauren Argentina. I live at 23 Redwood Drive in Plainview and grew up on Haypath Road in Old Bethpage. I feel lucky to be a part of the Plainview Old Bethpage community for 40 years. It is a wonderful community with a great location, convenience of shopping, and most importantly, a tremendous reputation for the importance placed on education and the ability to deliver that education within our district. That is why I chose to raise my family in Plainview. I have three children, two at Pasadena and one in pre-K. I speak tonight as a member of this community, not the Pasadena Stratford and Old Bethpage Parkway community, but rather the Plainview Old Bethpage community. I am not part of the streets that have been allocated as potential rezone, so many would say I'm not affected, but I couldn't disagree more. We are all affected. This community is changing on a daily basis. New, gigantic, six-bedroom, million-dollar homes are being built on structures that were once three-bedroom ranches. Families are expanding, and this community is growing. We need to be prepared, but first, I think we all need some clarification about what and where the problem is. Is it an overcrowding at the elementary level or at the middle school level? Is it that students in one school are receiving different services or, worse yet, receiving different levels of attention or restricted possibilities of opportunities that may exist at another school? In my opinion, a rezone is a temporary solution at best. Worst of all, its potential and the very real negative impact it can have on all of our children is what frightens me the most. We need a long-term solution. I believe that that solution is to house the fifth and sixth grade and the seventh and eighth grade together in our existing middle school buildings. There are many positive reasons this should be our solution, including creating a sense of one community within our district. And the best reason is eliminating the need to ever have to consider a rezone in the future. Once you start to examine this potential solution, there are many other positive reasons that come to light. Students entering fifth grade are either 9 or 10 years old. Their social, educational, and emotional needs are very different than the 13 or 14-year-olds that they are sharing a school with. One well-known and respected study by Rockoff and Lockwood shows how the K through 8 model is a far superior model to the middle school model, and this proposal would be the closest we could get to that ideal. In addition, think about how wonderful it would be for our children to be able to be with all of their friends from the community at 9 years old instead of having to wait until ninth grade. I know finances will be the ultimate concern here, so I will equate it to my personal life as an example. As a dentist, I am asked to match prices to the guy down the street or the ad in the Penny Saver all the time. And my answer is always the same. You get what you pay for. Do it right the first time, and it's always less expensive than redoing it over and over and over again. Thank you for your time and attention.
Any other comments? Hearing none, public. Oh, yeah, if you have written statements, could you please give it to Jean so that the board gets copies of it? Jacques?
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. About a month ago, Newsday was pilloring the school districts for having excess cash, or what they thought was excess cash, our reserves. One of the things I believe in is having flexibility so that one doesn't have to borrow unnecessarily. And I believe we used our reserves funds to pay salaries and expenses while we're awaiting revenue from the county. So in discussing it with Mr. Cunningham a month ago, we had not had to borrow any money to meet payroll and other expenses. And I believe that any costs that we have incurred to date would be minimal as far as interest costs are concerned. Thank you.
Public participation is now over. Before people get up to leave, if you came and you're not staying for the rest of the meeting, I know there's going to be a lot of scuttle all over the place, things are happening, stuff. If you have questions, please either call Central Administration, write your questions down, and make sure they get delivered to the Board of Education. You can send us letters if you choose to do so. But there's going to be one voice, and the voice is going to be coming from up here so that you'll know that people are going to be throwing a lot of different stuff out. There's always somebody trying to stir a pot. As I started saying at the beginning, we have not even started to have a discussion.
and people are already saying it's a done deal. It's just, I promise you, we will listen to what everybody has to say, and the length of our deliberations will be until we are comfortable making a final decision. There are a myriad of questions. Every question begs another question. Our main concern is what's right for our school district's population. What do we do? How do we do it? And we always have the children's interests, first and foremost. But there are going to be some people happy with the solution if we do nothing. There are going to be other people who aren't happy. It doesn't matter. As long as we hear our voices and we hear and answer your questions. If you don't think a question has been asked, I mean, come up and ask it. If you think it hasn't been answered correctly, you can say, could you please just be more specific in your answering? But there are going to be a lot of meetings and a lot of participation from the public in it. So we want to thank you all for coming this evening, because we know for some of you, you have little kids at home, you want to get home. But we want to thank you for coming and speaking this evening. And please, if you have any questions, make sure the answers come from the right people and people who aren't even here telling you what's really happening. Right now, we're going to begin our discussions October 1st. And don't forget, October 16th, mark your calendar at 7:30. Where's it going to be?
At the high school.
At the high school, we'll have a public forum of which we will have whatever needs we want, charts, graphs, etc. Those are just pieces of paper. They are not decisions. In the cafeteria, thank you. Thank you for coming out. For those of you who are fasting, have an easy fast. All right, new business. Do I have a motion on routine business? I meant to say, Rennell, second, Debbie. Any hold, separation, all in favor? Right along. We have four items of new business. The first one. We have unfinished business, the approval of two music department trips, of which you got the backup. Debbie, second. Lauren, any discussion? All in favor? Have fun. New business, first item, non-local project challenge field trips for Board of Education approval. Is there a motion? Susan, second. Jody, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Second, coach bus for varsity boys cross country team. Is there a motion? Seth, second. Rennell, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Recommendation to approve the corrective action plan and resolution of acceptance in response to the draft OSC audit and authorizes the board president, the superintendent of schools, to sign the combined response and submit the letter to the office of the state comptroller. Is there a motion? Lauren, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Lastly, terms and conditions for the supervisor of school facilities and operation. Motion? Susan, second. Debbie, any discussion? All in favor? So moved. Motion to go into executive session for reason of real estate. Manel, Susan, all in favor? Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoy your evening.